Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the show on this Wednesday. Bill Ryder with you. I may have mentioned a couple thousand times that I have a new podcast I'm doing with a very talented John Gonzalez and Ashley Nicole Moss. It is on every single day, Monday to Friday, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 o'clock in the morning out here on the left west coast. You can watch it live on YouTube like Tom does, the executive producer. You can get it wherever you get podcasts. We would love you to subscribe, to like, to tell your friends, to throw a party, to spread the word, whatever you want to do. And I tried TriHost, but Ash thought that was stupid, and so did everyone else. In fact, my boss at CBS, one of my 28 bosses, told me that TriHost, because there's three of us, he said it was the dumbest thing I'd ever said. And he kind of said it as if that is saying something. So I'm going to try this now with John Gonzalez, who joins me. My co-host joins me here on the show. Tom didn't like that either. John's not going to like it. John, do you like co-host or tri-host, or do you just want to be, you know, that guy I talk hoops with, John Gonzalez?
I'm for whatever you like. And give yourself some credit. You've said much dumber stuff than that before.
Yeah, I once told you that I thought you were going to be able to really bring some analysis on young teams, and then you just went with the standings. So you're right. Like I've swung and missed a couple times trying to be a good teammate. Let's start there, Jonathan. You love the Thunder. You think their youth doesn't matter. Tell me why the Thunder are going to defy NBA history and be NBA champions this year.
Well, I think they're contenders this year, and that's really been the rub on our podcast, right? And I think the proof is in the pudding. I mean, we are, about 10 games left in the regular season for most teams, and the Oklahoma City Thunder have challenged the Denver Nuggets, the defending champions, all season long. Not to get too into the weeds on the numbers here, but they've been one of the best offensive and defensive teams in the league all year. They're one of only four teams to have a top 10 rating in offense and defense all year. They have an MVP candidate, a legitimate MVP candidate in SGA. I still think it's Joker. But just last night, the venerated host on Inside the NBA, Shaquille O'Neal, he picked SGA as his MVP candidate. So I think there's just like a lot of things going on for them. And yes, they are young. And yes, it has been tough for teams that are inexperienced to win NBA titles. But would not surprise me if the Thunder jump the line and do it this season. They're that good.
John Gonzalez here on the show. John, another team, and I think you mentioned this last night when CBS Sports HQ let us both do a hit together. I think it was 1 a.m. I can't remember. It was super fun hanging out with you doing playoff basketball talk super, super late. There are four teams that are in the top 10 in offensive and defensive rating. That is not a guarantee, obviously. Nothing is of being an NBA champion. But over the last 25, 30 years, with a few exceptions, and they're notable ones, that has been a prerequisite in hindsight to winning the whole thing. Those teams are the Denver Nuggets. They're pretty good. They're the defending champions. The Boston Celtics, they're pretty good. The Thunder, you just mentioned. And the other one is the New Orleans Pelicans, who do not have this year at least, a legitimate MVP-level candidate, but they do have a star in Zion. We have talked a lot about them on the podcast. Will you then take that same logic and apply it to New Orleans and say that team has a legitimate chance to make a similar run?
Slightly different, only because the Pelicans have come from farther back this season. They have had some fits and starts, but I do think they're dangerous. And you know what? I'm glad you brought them up, because all season long, or at least since December, when the Clippers really got their act together through, you know, mid-February, when the Clippers were the best team in the NBA by record. They had the best offense in the NBA. They were cruising. Everything was looking good. The wheels have come off for the Clippers a little bit. Lost the last two games at home on their floor to the Sixers, who, as we all know, no Joel Embiid. And then they lose to the Pacers. Both games, they get run off the floor in the fourth quarter and look like an abject disaster. There are still, Bill, I'm watching basketball last night, and they're like the odds for the NBA championships on the bottom. The Clippers have the third best odds. My head almost exploded. The Pelicans are an infinitely better team than the Clippers right now, and I promise you that the Clippers don't want any part of that 4-5 matchup in the first round. The Clippers still, though, because the betting public loves the Clippers, they have a lot of stars. Yes, they could get hot with Kawhi and PG, and who knows what happens with James Harden in the postseason. I'll take the Pelicans all day long in that series.
John Gonzalez here on CBS Sports Radio, the co-host of Beyond the Arc with me and Ashley Nicole Moss. Now, today at 2 Eastern, live on YouTube, you can get it afterwards wherever you get podcasts. Just John and I will be hanging out and visiting. We'll have Avery Johnson, my buddy, a couple days from now, and it's Ash and John tomorrow, but today it's just John and I. Little preview, we're going to, I think, John, start with that crazy Lakers-Bucks game and that collapse by Milwaukee. I don't want you to give away too much of the goods, but in general, what did you make of, what takeaways, if there are any, do you extract from the Lakers storming back from that 19-point fourth-quarter deficit to stun Milwaukee in double overtime?
I love that you're bringing all this up. It's like we're doing the pre-show meeting right now. We can just skip it. This is fantastic. I would say that from the Lakers' perspective, it was encouraging, right? Because the Lakers have been all over the map all season long, especially without LeBron James. You expect, okay, they're down 19 points in the game. They didn't have a lead until overtime. They're on the road. Again, no LeBron. That's a game where they could have quit 12 different ways or not even showed up. And instead, they come storming back and they win a double overtime thriller against the Bucks. And the reason why it's encouraging is because Anthony Davis, who's been much maligned by various people, you know, the Inside the NBA guys like to call him street clothes, because in previous seasons he was in street clothes more than he was in his uniform. This season, not the case. He has been available. He's been excellent. He is a lock for first team all defense. And then last night he goes and has a monster triple-double, over 30 points, over 20 rebounds. But the key thing, though, and you and I talked about it last night on HQ, career-high 52 minutes. And he was playing the fourth quarter and overtime. Basically, he was limping around like he was on one leg. So, I mean, kudos to AD for stepping up in a huge situation.
So, John, I know that you are probably more focused on the top of the standings as an indicator of potential playoff success than I am. And I guess it's just who's right or who's wrong is year to year. But if I were to ask you to look further down the standings and take a flyer, just a team that you think, even a conference finals run, that could come out of that play-in scenario, you were forced to pick one, who would you, and to what degree would you actually think it's a possibility? Because there are some real names, one in the East for me in Miami and a bunch in the West, who at least in terms of early season expectations are languishing in a place we did not expect them.
Yeah, I think the West is a little bit different. I'm really not buying anybody below the top three to come out of the West. I think that for me, it's still a heavy favorite of the Nuggets and OKC, and then to a lesser extent the Wolves, depending on whether or not Cat comes back. Because then once you get into that Clippers, Pelicans, Mavericks conversation, that gets a little dicey for me. The East Coast, though, the Eastern Conference, that's where I go, yeah, you're right. I mean, we saw the Heat do it last year coming out of the play-in. Everybody after the Celtics, toss them into a hat and pull one out, and it wouldn't be surprising to me if they're in the Eastern Conference Finals and then challenge the Celtics, because, as we know, the Celtics, they've been very, very good over these last few seasons, but they've only made one Finals, and they didn't win it. So it wouldn't surprise me if they stumble a little bit again this season, even though they've been the best team in the NBA all year long. So, yeah, I'd pick out the Heat. I'd pick out probably the Knicks if they can get healthy. The Knicks have a shot. The Bucks absent what happened last night. I know that technically they're not farther down the standings. They're in second, but, look, they're, like, what, 12 games behind the Celtics. So everybody's pretty much farther down the standings in the Eastern Conference. But I'd give a couple of those Eastern Conference teams a shot, yeah.
John Gonzalez, co-host of Beyond the Arc podcast over at CBS Sports. John, I know we talked Bucks, but I wanted to ask you about this. Doc has made some adjustments and some changes, and his offensive just output under him has been better since the All-Star game. It has been, last night's outcome notwithstanding. But just to my eye, Lillard and Giannis don't look comfortable to me. And that happens, right? I covered that Heat team LeBron's first year, and it took at least 50 games for Wade and LeBron to they liked each other, but to be comfortable and in sync together on the floor. What do you make of that Lillard-Giannis partnership now, and where do you think it'll be next year when they've had a lot more time together?
Yeah, you've brought this up before, and you're absolutely right that in the first year of stars being paired together, it doesn't tend to work out significantly well in terms of postseason success or even a championship. So I think next year will be better. This year there have been fits and starts, right? There's been times where you look at them and you go, oh, they're starting to figure it out. And then there's times where it doesn't look quite as clean. I'll give Doc his credit for coming in and deciding, oh, we have to run more pick and roll with these guys. Sometimes that looks a little messy. Last night was one of those times. Dame did not have a particularly good shooting night. And in our text message chain for our podcast, which, as you mentioned, Beyond the Arc, please listen, you had mentioned, hey, you know, this looks like a little sloppy. It doesn't look great. And also, Giannis was having a great game, and then in overtime, he kind of disappeared. There were one or two plays where he got downhill, and he looked pretty good. But for the most part, they went towards Dame. And on one hand, I go, well, that's why they brought him in, right? I mean, they brought him in for Dame time. They brought him in to be the closer. On the other hand, I go, he wasn't playing well. He certainly wasn't shooting well. He had a really bad shooting night. And, like, Giannis was performing. He had a big-time triple-double last night. So I was a little surprised that we didn't get more Giannis there. So, yeah, they are, despite the fact that we are almost in single digits here for games left, still figuring it out with those guys.
I think Dame was, what, was it 9 of 29? It was
something like that.
It was brutal. It was brutal. John Gonzalez hanging out here on the program. All right, John, last one for you. I want to dive into the Knicks a little more because I know our co-host Ashley, she's a Knicks fan. She sees it with a fan's heart. I used to laugh off Knicks optimism. We've talked about all of this on the podcast, right? 15-2 with OG Anunoby, playing really tough without him and Julius Randle. They're missing key guys. The East outside of Boston does not feel particularly healthy or dangerous for a variety of reasons. It's an if, but if the Knicks come the playoffs, have a healthy OG and a healthy Randle, and there's other guys that could be back, to what degree do you think they are good enough to be legitimate contenders to at least make and push whoever's there a team in the conference finals?
Yeah, the Knicks fans are sort of the bane of my existence, and I love Ashley, and we love working with her, but their optimism, it's so hard for me to parse, especially as a Sixers fan, where I just go, of course it's not going to work out. It never does. And it won't for you either. Last night, after the Bucks lost, she texted us something from Stephen Bondi from the Daily News saying that the Knicks were only 2.5 games out of number two in the East. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You have no time for this. It's not going to work out. Your guys aren't healthy yet. Now, that said, I do like the Knicks, and we have been very bullish on the Knicks when healthy. The problem is, you know, probably, according to the reports from yesterday, Mitchell Robinson might be the closest guy to coming back. And I like Mitchell Robinson, but Isaiah Hartenstein has had a really good season for them. So the key for those guys is one OG Anunoby and one A Julius Randle. And until both of those guys are back and healthy and look like themselves, because it's going to take them a second, they're not just going to come back and immediately. Well, maybe OG will, but Julius Randle, I suspect, because it's his shoulder, is going to take them a second. Until they're back and healthy, the Knicks is a nice idea on paper. And in reality, it's going to be tougher.
All right, John Gonzalez, you and I have a pre-show meeting that'll last 30 seconds because we just did it. That's in an hour. We have a podcast at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 o'clock Eastern. Thanks for being on, buddy, and I'll talk to you in like 48 minutes or something.
Talk to you soon, my friend.
All right, dude. John Gonzalez on the show on Twitter at John Gonzalez and on the internets at Beyond the Arc, 2 o'clock Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. I like John. I don't think we agree on a single thing, by the way. I don't know if you picked up on that. Not a single thing he said do I necessarily. Well, I think the Knicks can be really, really good. It's interesting, right? Like, John, I'm glad that we got paired up on this podcast because he's really good at it. and he sees the world in much more of a traditional part of the pack NBA thinker. I'm a little more, I guess the people would say, contrarian. And John's a little more sort of in tune with what all of our colleagues are thinking and saying. And so it gives a nice little balance because we very, very rarely agree. I, for example, think that several teams come out of the play-in. And I think the Celtics are extremely vulnerable. And I don't think Pretty Daddy is mean. So we're just on totally different planes. 855-212-4CBS. How is buy or sell today? How is it? I feel like I haven't given it the, what did you say in the email this morning? The shine it deserves, you piece of bleep. Okay, I apologize. What how's buy or sell today?
Well, the first two editions this week were sensitivity driven buy or sell. This is not that.
No.
This is more of a, not a shiny, but a showy buy or sell.
Okay, very showy, kind of showboating, show off Wednesday, as Kirk Morrison's former coach said, smelling ourselves, buy or sell. I don't know what that means, but I love it because I say stuff all the time that no one understands. Buy or sell, headline from sports, a take on each one, next CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back to Writer Than You.
I opened the cupboard. I was doing dishes like a good husband, and I saw two giant Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Easter eggs, shaped like eggs. You know what I did? I ate them, and they were marvelous. They were amazing. And then I got this text while I was on the air. While I'm doing a radio show. While I'm trying to just hang out with you and entertain you from my wife. Did you eat all his peanut butter eggs? They were in wine glass cabinet. Me. Yes. Then I followed up with, they were yummy.
On CBS Sports Radio.
That's funny. So that's just, you're just sitting here just taking clips of stuff I say.
I actually have an entire page of notes from just the first hour and 20 minutes of today.
How many are you taking from me and John hanging out? Two?
At least four.
Four of them? 855-212-4CBS. You want to give us a call. Twitter, Sports Writer, Sports, R-E-I-T-E-R. Are you ready for a strutting around like you're John Travolta in the 70s version of Buy or Sell?
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
I'm doing this out of love, Bill. We start with your Chicago Bears. Yesterday at the league meetings, Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, a.k.a. Matt Eberflus, had this to say about Caleb Williams and his time at USC.
What I love to see was that the interaction with the other players. You can see that, and you know, we talked to every person that was on that team. You know, at the Senior Bowl, we interviewed them. We interviewed them at the Pro Day. We talked to those guys at the dinner, and you can certainly see that those players love him.
His college teammates loved him. Bill, buy or sell, you care about any of what Matt Eberflus had to say right there as a Bears fan?
Sell.
Sell.
In fairness to Matt Eberflus, I don't care about anything he has to say, generally. What am I going to name him if they win 11 games next year? After I apologize for calling him Eberlews.
Just call him Matt.
Just call him Matt?
Just call him Matt. First name basis.
I'm looking at it. I'm trying to think of something that's positive off of Eberflus. And now, when I'm talking to people, I'm making general conversation, and I try to bring up the Bears head coach, I can't get his name out. Matt Eberflus. Because I want to say lose. Eberflus.
Do you feel like if you say Eberflus?
Matt Eberflus. Because he's a truth.
Okay.
It's a little weak. Oh, you're going to buy it?
I was going to, but now I can't that you don't like it.
No, hit me with it. I'll take it.
Buy.
You will buy it, yeah. Okay.
All right, Bill, let's stay in the NFL here. Christmas.
Well, let me just circle back. I don't want to play armchair quarterback, armchair psychologist on Caleb Williams. I don't know anything about him. He might be a wonderful person. But with a little more invested in this than normal, I do find his interviews to be a little worrisome. A little Kyler Murray-esque. I don't want Kyler Murray, part two. And Kyler Murray is good. Kyler Murray is also short for a NFL quarterback.
Again, I do this out of love. We're just working through things here.
Buy or sell, I will be able to function if next year, at a certain point, the Steelers are on track for a 12-win season behind Justin Fields and Caleb Williams is a disaster.
Sell.
Yeah. I'm rooting for Justin Fields,
case
though.
Case scenario.
I'm rooting for Justin Fields. I like that organization, the Steelers, because, by the way, guy was wrong. I was so wrong on Tomlin 14 years ago, right? 100% got that one wrong. It's amazing how long he's been good. And I like Justin Fields from a distance, and I think he got a raw deal. I think he was put in a situation to fail and sort of succeeded anyway. I am rooting for him, just like everybody in this scenario, to win.
All right, Bill. Christmas falling on a Wednesday won't stop the NFL. In fact, not only do we have a Wednesday Christmas game, we have a doubleheader. Bill, buy or sell a Wednesday Christmas doubleheader bothers you more than a Week 1 game on a Friday night in Brazil?
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's tricky because the NBA obviously sort of did the Christmas Day thing, and now the NFL is just going to steal it from them. But that's not... I will sell. The Christmas Day thing doesn't bother me too much.
Sell.
Let me ask you... Well, you're the wrong guy. I don't love these games being on Christmas Day because I take Christmas Day off every year to be with my family. And I don't want to have to watch sports on Christmas. And some of that's because I've spent so much time covering NBA games on Christmas. There's nothing worse than waking up on Christmas Day away from your family when they live somewhere else, when I didn't live in L.A., in L.A., to go to some random Lakers game. I guess it wasn't random. So I'm a little preconditioned not to love Christmas Day games. You're in the business, too, but you're not covering the game. You're maybe one step removed from me. Do you think do your family enjoy? Are they, oh, yeah, great, eggnog and football or basketball?
No, they hate it.
They hate it.
They don't want to watch sports on Christmas. They want holiday movies on.
Right. But people do watch it.
Yeah, they do. Like, I'll check in from, whatever NBA, because there's usually five NBA games that day. I don't want to watch the NFL on Christmas Day.
They get ratings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's never going away.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. You're right.
All right, Bill, speaking of never going away, Aaron Rodgers. He won't be vice president.
Oh, he won't be the vice presidential candidate? Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Please. Okay, good. Please.
We can just go to the next question.
I mean, it's up to you.
I think we covered enough ground
right
there.
We did it.
All right, Bill. Let's get to hoopier than thou, some NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder hit the 50-win mark last night, beating the Pelicans 119-112. It's the first time that OKC has reached 50 wins since the 2015-2016 season when they had both Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook. Plus, on TNT, Shaq had this to say about SGA yesterday.
The MVP is SGA, one of few guys that have 50, 30-point games in the season.
Yeah.
Mm. Baddest player in the game.
Bill, buy or sell Shaq's take?
That's really interesting. Play it again. I want to buy myself time.
The MVP is SGA. One of few guys that have 50, 30-point games in the season.
Yeah.
Baddest player in the game.
Man, I actually think there's a case to be made here. Look, do I think he's the MVP? I'm not sure. Do I think that he has a case by?
By.
I want to hear the 50, 30-point game. That's interesting. I mean, if the Thunder win the West, I have to vote for this thing, by the way. If the Thunder win the West, I gotta think about it, right?
Is it a two-man race at the most?
Yes, there's no one else even remotely close. Giannis might be third. Honestly, I have not looked at third in a minute. But yes, it is those two. Also, like I don't know where you come down. I respect Shaq's view on these things. I don't think he's always right, but I think he's always honest. Wow, I finally have something in common with Shaq. the first season I covered the NBA full time, 2010-11. I was at the Garden, the TD Garden. Do people call it the Garden in New York? They don't, right? They still call Boston the Garden.
Oh no, TD Garden. They call it.
Right, there's the Garden.
Yeah,
there's two gardens.
Yep.
First Garden I went to for the NBA, not for other sports, was the TD Garden. Okay, so I turned around, and there was Shaq. So I was standing next to Shaq. He is the size of a planet. I want you to picture yourself. I've stood next to Giannis. I've stood next to LeBron. I've stood next to Kareem. I mean, Kareem's an older gentleman. But nobody takes up room. And just, he is larger than life, man. I just want to share that wonderful story.
All right, Bill, let's stay in the NBA here. On Draymond Green's podcast, Celtics point guard Drew Holiday said he would have appreciated more of a heads up from the Milwaukee Bucks when he was traded to the Blazers in the Dame deal.
I'm taking a nap. I see the text. I see a call from the GM, and I'm like, I'll call him back. Like, I'm deep in this nap, too. I'm saying it's a good one. And then 2 seconds later, my agent calls. So I pick up his call. He's like, you talk to him? I'm like, nah, bro, I'm sleeping. He's like, well, you just got traded, so you should probably call him back. And then I ended up looking at my phone. He ended up texting me everything that was happening. Like, yeah, we traded you here. And then I ended up calling him, and he ended up saying, like, yeah, we traded you for Damian Lillard. So I also had no clue. I think for me, it was just a shock because at least let me know 24 hours in advance, not 5 minutes in advance. And maybe I'm asking for too much. It's kind of like, I mean, I won there.
Bill, buy or sell Drew Holiday deserved more advance notice that he was being traded.
No, all right,
bye.
But let me give you some insight from the other side of the equation, okay? I'm going to do this on the podcast. It's going to make John really uncomfortable because people get really uncomfortable when you talk about Woj or Shams because those two guys don't like you talking about their business. I like Adrian a lot, and I've only met Shams a few times. He was super nice. So I like both those guys. Different sample sizes, but still, I like them. Those guys get all their information from agents. Those guys have cornered the market on agents, and once you do that, then GMs come around. But it's agents who tell them everything. Everything. There's a world where Horst, who is the GM there, did not want to tell Drew Holiday, not because of Drew Holiday, but because of Drew Holiday's agent. And I don't know Drew Holiday's agent or whether he's, but he might, those GMs know which agents are much more likely to go to Shams or Woj very, very quickly.
All right, Bill, let's get to some college hoops here. Kentucky's athletic director confirmed yesterday that John Calipari will return next season for his 16th with the university. Now, Bill, if Cal would have been fired, his buyout was just under $35 million. And as you know, Kentucky was out in the first round of the tourney this year and haven't gotten out of the second round since 2019. Bill, buy or sell Kentucky is making a mistake bringing back John Calipari.
I'm going to sell. It may be a mistake, but I think it's a understandable mistake. Because I think he's earned the right. He still recruits. You kind of know what you have with him. And you also, if you're going to fire him at Kentucky, my view is it can't be reactionary. You need to really have a plan in place. And I think it would be a lot easier to take a season to have the expectation that you might fire him and to really start to plant some seeds with agents around the country for coaches. Because Kentucky, you can't get wrong. And the right person has to be available.
All right, Bill, according to TMZ, Ice Cube and his Big Three Basketball League have offered Iowa star Caitlin Clark $5 million to join the league. And P.S., there's only two conflicting games with the WNBA's Indiana Fever, who have the number one pick, who will in all likelihood draft Caitlin Clark. So I ask you, Bill, buy or sell, Caitlin Clark should join the Big Three.
Sell. So talking about this on the Beyond the Arc string, I'm in the minority here. People aren't going to agree. I'm just going to be honest. I'm going to say the quiet part out loud. I love Caitlin Clark. I think her game's amazing. I will watch her in the WNBA. There is a world where she could get embarrassed in the Big Three. Those guys are going to be insanely jealous of the money she's making. They're not going to make that kind of money for 10 games. And probably her attention. They're going to be out to prove a point. And I worry that if she does not perform at the requisite level that's expected, that it will damage her ability to raise the women's game when she goes to the WNBA the way that she can. She can be a transcendent athlete. I don't need to watch Serena Williams in her heyday play against Roger Federer to know that Serena is, if not the best tennis player of all time, you know, one of them. I don't need it. I don't need that. And so that would be my worry. That said, I love the idea by Ice Cube. How brilliant of a marketing idea is that? By the way, my other producer, not to make you jealous, over on Beyond the Arc, made that point. Like, brilliant by Ice Cube because he thinks it won't happen, but it's a huge marketing ploy.
All right, Bill, let's finish up with some baseball here. Last one. The Arizona Diamondbacks and lefty starter Jordan Montgomery have agreed to terms on a one-year deal worth $25 million. Now, Bill, the 31-year-old Montgomery is 38-34 with a 3.68 career ERA in seven big league seasons. Bill, buy or sell MLB pitcher salaries are more inflated than NFL quarterback salaries.
Isn't this crazy? You say $25 million, you think, okay, whatever, rich athlete, cool. When you put into perspective, $25 million for a closer who's not particular, or a starter, excuse me, who's not particularly impressive. I guess he's an innings eater to a degree. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
The other thing about baseball, and it's just, okay, so it's one person can't impact a season. They just can't. The way that a quarterback can in the National Football League, to a lesser degree, a defensive star can, right? Chris Jones is a great example. He gets overshadowed by Mahomes, but he's a game wrecker, and he's not the only one who can do that, or an NBA player, because there's five guys out there. That's not true in baseball. What is true is when you get to the playoffs, pitching becomes that much more important. Like, it does become one of these, can a guy go out? If anyone can single-handedly get you a win, it's a pitcher. That pitcher is not Jordan Montgomery. And with all respect to Jordan Montgomery, there are guys that can do that in Major League Baseball. He's not one of them. Just go out, you're on a two-game skid, or whatever. It's the start of a series, and because of the way that the last round went, your starting rotation isn't lined up as effectively as the team you're playing, and just, can this guy go get you a W? Some guys can do it. Not this guy. Man, I'm left-handed. I wish I could pitch. I was a good baseball player, but I had an arm like a noodle. I mean, I just could not. I don't know what the deal was. Play first base, can play the outfield, I'm fast. Not a great arm. I was always jealous of guys, and they would just rocket that ball, right? From center field to the catcher. I had to hit two cutoffs. We got to have a cutoff for the cutoff.
That's kind of like me. I could have swung twice when I saw my first real off-speed pitch.
That's fair. When I was in Chicago in the Burbs, I was in Little League, right? So I was 12 or whatever. I had a pretty good season. A kid. I made the All-Star game, and I thought, oh, man, here we go. I hit like 480 or something. I had a great year. Got lucky a lot. I think a lot of Texas Leaguers, is that what they call them? Yeah. I went up to the traveling team and hit pretty well, kids threw the ball hard. And then, yeah, the first guy, it was my teammate, it was practice, threw an actual curveball, and I knew that I was going to have to play tennis in high school. And I'm left-handed, so the way the ball breaks, I'm not jumping out of the box the way that righties are, right? Like, the ball's breaking toward me. It's not if a lefty throws one, I guess, but I can't even imagine being right-handed and seeing your first curveball and thinking the ball's about to hit your face, and then the ump goes, strike! And you're like, wait, what, bro? And then you realize the ball is not in your face. You are jumped to the side. That little smirk the pitcher gives, because like, oh, it's a newbie.
I got this guy.
Curveball rookie. My son yesterday asked me what a virgin was.
And how did you handle that?
It's a conversation for another time, buddy.
Talk to your mother.
No, she was sitting there. He turned to her. She goes, talk to your father.
Well played.
It's a state in these part of America when you put an A on the end. Sort of. I think there's some other spelling adjustments that are required. All right, let's close the show out with a little NFL talk after we get a CBS Sports Radio update from Andrew Bogish.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Writer Than You podcast.
All right, welcome back into the show. Bill Writer with you here on the program. I was driving around. All I do is drive now when I'm not working. I just drive my kids to and fro. Yeah, to and fro. And I have CBS Sports Radio on. I was listening to Zach Gelb, the Zach Gelb Show, in the afternoons. And Zach had a really interesting idea, interesting concept. I wish I could remember all seven guys. It was of the following NBA stars and quarterbacks. I had to get out of the car during the segment. But of all the guys who haven't accomplished what maybe they would like to and should have, who is the next to win a title? Josh Allen was on the list. Lamar Jackson was on the list. Dak Prescott was on the list. Joel Embiid was on the list. And I can't remember the other NBA guys.
Luka?
Yeah, Luka, I think, was one of the guys. That's five. I'm missing a few. But it was an interesting, it was a really interesting concept. And I don't, my first thought was the answer has to be on the NBA side. Because it's hard enough to win a Super Bowl without Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs around. But Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs are around. So whatever the difficulty level, multiply it by five. Because you got to get through everybody else anyway, and then you got to get through those guys. On the NBA side, I think Luka's the next to win one, maybe, but here's my hot take. Here's my rampant speculation. I don't think it's going to work with Kyrie, although they're playing really well, and they had a really big win last night, and Kyrie Irving was amazing. They dominated that game. And they've won a bunch in a row. They're just inconsistent. Luka and Joker are really good friends. They're buddies. Both from Eastern Europe. They hang out a lot. I think there's a world where Luka goes later in his career to play with Nikola. And that's when he gets his title. I got to write this. I haven't done it yet. I've been reporting this. I'm sure it'll go over great with the Dallas fans. So then the Bucks fans can get off my back. There's a thought out there. It's not even a criticism. It's just a view that Luka's amazing, but he may, in fact, not be able to translate his game in the modern NBA to title success. And the way that I framed it, and people have sort of talked to me about this, is Harden 2.0. Outstanding individually, historic offensive player, will be, he doesn't have one yet, I think he will, and Harden has one. You know, MVP level guys, maybe occasionally it happened for Harden once, where he was the guy, I'm not including the Oklahoma City Thunder run when he came off the bench, what a team, where individual excellence just takes you to conference finals. Harden did it for the Rockets, and Luka did it a few years ago, although he had Jalen Brunson for Dallas. But I just, there are some worries and concerns about what he can be and what he can do. But I think he's the, maybe Embiid, but Embiid's got to be able to stay healthy. It's not Josh Allen. I don't think Josh Allen's winning a Super Bowl, do you? I don't think he's winning one. He could, but I don't. I think those Bills teams are going to be. Maybe they'll calibrate that with their cap reality in a year or two or three. But it's not just Mahomes. I mean, Joe Burrow is out there too. Joe Burrow's a... I mean, if I'm Burrow, I'm real worried about being Karl Malone to Mahomes' Jordan. And Burrow has beaten Mahomes at Arrowhead to go to a Super Bowl, but man. All right. Let's go through some, speaking of the National Football League, Coach of the Year odds came out. Do you ever, you don't bet. I don't bet futures like I used to, Tom. They're fun. 2024-25 Coach of the Year odds. Oh.
It's time for music.
Do you like that?
You got a future being a big voice guy.
No, I don't.
Do you know who's great as Will Arnett? And you don't listen to the Smartless podcast.
No, I have. You recommended it, and I've checked it out. I'm not in it as soon as the latest episode comes out, but I've dabbled.
They're really funny.
It's very entertaining.
The Jake Gyllenhaal one, Gyllenhaal, is good.
Have you confirmed it's right?
It's Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jack and Jill went up the hill to patch a fail of stardom. Yep. He does
voiceover sounds on the podcast a lot. And that was the Sean Hayes show.
I will be walking because who's going to run these days? I'll go on these walks and I'll be walking. There's people around me and I'll have noise cancellation, ear pods in. And he will say something and I will laugh I'll just laugh uproariously at times. And I will realize people are staring at me because I must be barking. Like I'm just laughing so loud. All right. NFL 2024-25
Coach of the Year odds.
There's a huge favorite. Did you already look at this? I was going to ask you if you could guess. Do you already know who it is? Well, you suck, Tom. You ruined the bit. No, you're great. Raheem Morris.
Never would have guessed that.
5-1.
Never.
The next closest.
Guess that.
Five.
Yeah.
There's one other guy who's got pretty good odds, and then the next closest person, who's Matt LaFleur, is two and a half times as likely to 12-1. Raheem Morris. And by the way, and Vegas really likes their win total. I think they're 10 or 10 and a half. I think 10 is where they might be 10 and a half. Whatever. They project them to be a team that is 500 or better. Right? Even if you hit 9 on the under, it would be obviously 9-8.
Math wizard.
Raheem Morris at 5-1. You've got Jim Harbaugh at +750, which is an interesting bet because I think we all think, no guarantees, Harbaugh is going to be successful eventually. But their cap situation is not particularly easy. They've had to let some guys go. And Harbaugh's got to get in there and do his thing. I know he has worked magic quickly in his career, particularly in San Francisco. But we've already mentioned this guy, Patrick Mahomes. We've mentioned this team. The Chiefs are in that division. Feels like Harbaugh's going to need more time. But they like his odds to be Coach of the Year. And you don't have to make the Super Bowl to be Coach of the Year. But I think the Chargers have to, at a minimum, push the Chiefs to win that division. Maybe the Chargers going, 12-5, and the Chiefs going 13-4. Maybe Harbaugh still can be Coach of the Year because it's such a turnaround. But you have to have a pretty good season. LaFleur 12-1, D'Amico Ryans 14-1. They got a bunch of guys. Gerard Mayo, by the way, 16-1, which I found kind of interesting. Dan Campbell 25-1. I'm trying to see if there's any. Like, I think there's. I got to stop throwing money at this. This is like saying I know that 33 is going to happen. I know it's going to happen. And Vegas keeps smiling as they take my money. But kind of like Doug Peterson at 28-1.
That means you think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a big turnaround.
It just means I think the odds that he has a big turnaround and other things go well is better than 28-1. I think there's value, right? Not in any way thinking this is any kind of a lock. Shanahan's only 28-1 because I think he, at this point, right, what do you get? You got to go 17-0 or something. 16-1. It's not going to happen. Mike McCarthy, 50-1. That's, I would just set your money on fire. But those are pretty good odds if you think the Cowboys are going to figure it out. I think Nick Sirianni at 60-1 is interesting because he's been under some fire, changed coordinators. If the Eagles come out of next year as the clear NFC favorites, if they are, which by the way, we thought they were. What were they? They weren't 10-0 this past year, were they?
10-1.
10-1. Thank you. If they start 10-1 again and they don't fall off a cliff, they don't turn into Doc Rivers or Kirk Cousins, I think that's a really interesting number at 60-1. Andy Reid, 66-1.
Patrick Mahomes effect, right?
Yeah, he's just not going to get the credit. Maybe the Falcons are going to be fun this year.
Four out of the top six in terms of best odds are in their first year with a new team.
In fairness, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys at 16-1. Right? So it's a lot. But yeah, you're right. Is the show over? I want to do more. Can we hit Jim up and see if he wants to, like, we're done? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Is that where we're at?
Yeah, he said we're done.
The show is Ryder Than You. My name is Bill Ryder. We appreciate you. He's pretty daddy. Thanks to John Gonzalez. Thank you for listening. We'll see you here tomorrow on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.